And here we go, off and running, hour number two today, Tuesday, January the 21st, 2020. 12 coming up on 13 minutes past the hour, and we want to thank the group from the Marion County Board of Elections for coming in hour number one. A lot of very pertinent and interesting information, need-to-know information, as they would say. You know, it's interesting that you can look at sample ballots, you can look at your own ballot, how it would be, you can ask for questions, you can vote absentee, when you can register, all the things you can do now, and the fact that if you vote and you cast your ballot and you get that receipt, you have to return that receipt to the ballot box for your vote to count. So all very important things to mention. Now, there's some stuff we got to do this hour, a little bit of housekeeping, but if anybody has any questions on that, give me a call. It'd be interesting to know what you think about the Board of Elections and what is going on there, which I think are all positive. 740-383-9944. Okay, here we go. We got to do this very quick today because we started this last week. And I'm going to go through this very quickly because people think this is political, but it's not political because we're staying apolitical on this show at this particular point. But because this is the bicentennial of Marion, and because this is the anniversary of women getting the right to vote, the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote in a presidential election, and the fact that we're celebrating here because it's the 100th anniversary of the election of President Harding, of course, Marion's only president, and the fact that Mary Ellen Withrow lives here, who was a part of the Clinton group when they were in office, the treasurer of the United States under President Bill Clinton, we have started a new campaign to get Hillary Clinton to come to Marion. Now, I understand that a lot of people don't like Hillary Clinton. I get it. She was not a likable person for a lot of people. But because of what she's accomplished in her life, you have to look at her. She was a first lady, and she also is the only female from a major party that's ever gotten the nomination to run for president on the Democratic side or Republican side. There has not been one on the Republican side yet. So what we've decided to do is invite Hillary Clinton to Marion, Ohio this year and help us with our celebration. So what we're doing to get clarification in life is we are keeping a Hillary log. Now, you can keep your own Hillary log at home if you want to stay in tune with what we're doing. Now, what I did is I went out and got one of the old black composition notebooks so I can keep track of what's going on. So, last week was really our first entry into the Hillary log. Now, it would have been on January the 17th. On January the 17th, 2020, we made our first entry into our Hillary Clinton log, and basically our first entry was, started Hillary log again, invited listeners to send Hillary Clinton an email to her office, P.O. Box 5256, New York, New York, 10185. Now, what you would do if you send Hillary Clinton a message at her office, P.O. Box 5256, New York, New York, 10185, is basically just say to her that you heard about this on WWGH Radio, the Scott Spears Show, and that she should come to Marion and be interviewed on this program because we want to cheer her up and we want to find out why she's unlikable. And we want her to be here for the celebration of President Harding and the bicentennial and women getting the right to vote and all those things. So that's what you write in there. Now, The only entry we have at this point is the January 17th entry. So, and I want to keep people updated on this on a day-to-day basis. So today, we are going to put a new journal entry in, because that's what you do when you journal. You have to keep your entries going. Now, I don't think we got a chance to journal last week after the 17th, which would have been, was that Friday? Yeah, it was Friday. That was our first entry. But we did not get a chance to go through our journal yesterday, so we're going to try to do that very quickly here. So today is January the 21st, 2020, 1-21-20. And it's a very simple entry today. It's not very complicated or convoluted at all. All we have to do is write the truth in here. And it's did not hear from Hillary. Now, I have to tell you, I am not discouraged by this at this particular point, because I don't think that the letters have had a chance to avalanche on Hillary Clinton yet. Because if everybody writes a letter and says, come to Marion, come to the Scott Spears Show, be interviewed, if she's hit with a ton of letters, then obviously she will have to do it. And irregardless of if you like her or not, or think she's likable, it will be a good thing for this town. It will focus a lot of attention on Marion, and that's a big plus. So what you have to do is you have to write her a letter at her office, Hillary Clinton, P.O. Box 5256, New York, New York, 10185. So just if you're keeping up in your black composition notebook that I call my Hillary log, today, well, let's start with the original, January 17th, 2020. Started Hillary log again. Invited listeners to mail Hillary Clinton. You have to do the old snail mail. Hillary Clinton, P.O. Box 5256, New York, New York, 10185. And then today's entry, the new entry, if you're all keeping track, in your Hillary log, is January 21st, 2020. Did not hear from Hillary. So we can put that away today. That was today's entry in the Hillary Clinton log. All right. Now, earlier on, we were talking about gravy. Now, does anybody have a good gravy recipe? I got a message on the internet earlier that somebody makes the best sausage gravy. And I thought, well, are they going to bring it today for me to test this? And apparently, they're not going to bring it to me for me today to test this. I did learn that I'm not going to have any sausage gravy today, which doesn't really break my heart, because I'm a little iffy on if this person really can cook sausage gravy, or if I would even like it, because it's not my big thing. But my question is that all that really goes into sausage gravy? Is it just grease and flour and sausage? How do you prepare it? Because I'm a little skeptical of this person who says she's going to make sausage gravy at some point for me to try. You know, it's one of those things, like she might slip something in there that I would not want in there. So what would you put in sausage gravy? Does anybody have a good sausage gravy recipe that they would like to share? Because maybe if it sounds good, this could cure me of my dislike for gravy in general. So give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944, talking about gravy. And I'm also curious, what is the difference between the gravy that they serve you at KFC and Lee's Chicken and places like that, and the type you make at home? Because I don't think that the gravy that they serve you at Lee's and KFC, I don't think that's made of grease, which I think is the primary ingredient in gravy. I think that must come from a bag or something like that. I don't think that's grease. Also, I also have a question about country fried steak. What kind of gravy is that they put on country fried steak? Because that does not look like typical gravy either. And what makes that country fried steak? Because it's not like a steak you would order in a restaurant. If you went and said, show me the steak menu, country fried steak does not look like steak. Even the insides of country fried steak don't look like steak. So what is that meat that people use for country fried steak? And what is the gravy that they put on top of it for country fried steak? Does anybody know? Let me know. 740-383-9944. I would be interested to know the answers to these questions, because clearly I do not know the answers to these questions. And then, of course, you have Salisbury steak. Now, Salisbury steak, to me, does look like steak. It looks more like steak than any of the other steaks, or the country fried steak. So, yeah, if I saw Salisbury steak, I would say, well, yeah, that kind of looks like a sirloin. That kind of looks like a T-bone, even though there's no bone in it. But it does not look like country fried steak. So country fried steak must be a whole little delicacy to its own. So if anybody would like to explain all these steaks and all the intricacies that they are, we would love to hear that. Go ahead, caller.
Charlie?
No, Scott.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, the way my mother used to do it was she made it with cornstarch, and she used to, you know, get the cracklings or the flavor off the meat, and then she put cornstarch and brown. I think she browned it and added milk to it.
So that is country fried steak.
Yeah, and my sister used to do hers with just milk, and she'd fry the, like, sausage gravy.
Oh, that's...
And, she'd go ahead and put regular flour in it and brown it with milk.
Now, what is the meat that's in country fried steak?
And me, I just get the 49-cent gravy mix over at Kroger's and add a cup of cold water to it, and it all turns out good.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, what is the difference between sausage gravy and, like, the gravy you get at KFC?
I don't know.
But yeah, the sausage gravy, what goes, is it just sausage and grease and flour?
Yeah, that's all it was.
That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it over biscuits, and it's a great breakfast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So
you brown your sausage, then you put in all the, you know, the flour and the milk.
So cornstarch is the added ingredient there.
Yeah, that's the one. My mom never had any problems with that.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Well, hey, I thank you for calling in.
All righty.
Take care.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that's interesting. Cornstarch, I could see that being an ingredient. Well, does anybody else have anything? Because that's fascinating, and I think we're all learning together here. 23.5 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. Talking about country fried steak recipes and what you put in it. Also talking about Salisbury steak recipes and what you put in it. And can anybody do the definition? What is different about gravy that you make at home and gravy that you have at KFC or Lee's Chicken or out in a restaurant? It just tastes a little different. Is it maybe because it's processed, comes out of a bag, maybe you just add water? I don't know what the big difference is there, but they certainly do taste differently. And also looking for good recipes for sausage gravy, because that, of course, has become a huge thing for people, and apparently it is just gravy and grease and flour, but I was never a fan of sausage gravy. So is there any special way that you cook sausage gravy that I might like it? Do you use a particular type of sausage? Do you brown your sausage before you put it with your gravy? How do you do that? It's all kind of interesting because obviously I'm not a gravy eater, so I'm not a gravy cooker. So these questions would all be interesting to me. 740-383-9944. Those are the questions this morning here on the Now program. Okay, what else did I want to bring up here this morning? Oh, the Panda Express. The Panda Express opened up on Sunday, and as I talked about a little bit yesterday on this show, I did not go to the Panda Express on Sunday, but I was driving home Sunday night at 8. There was quite a line at the Panda Express on night, which I was kind of shocked about because it was kind of late. It was after 8 o'clock, so it was certainly after dinner time, and I didn't even know people knew it was opened, and it was also very cold. Well, last night, I decided that I was going to go to Panda Express and try this out. Well, here's what happened last night. I pulled into the parking lot. Now, it was earlier last night. It was probably, 6, maybe even a little earlier than that, maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock, something like that. And the line at the Panda Express, and you know where it's located. It's located over in the corner there of the parking lot where Office Depot and Gordon Food and TJ Maxx is. From where it was located, way over in the corner, the line stretched to the entrance of that parking lot. That line had to be at least 20, 25 cars deep. So then, after I sat in the line for about 10 minutes, I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll just go inside. So I pull over, and I see that there are a lot of cars there. And the lobby is not huge. It is a fast food place, I think. So I pulled over, the lobby is not huge, and I noticed as I'm passing by the windows of the Panda Express that there is not a place to sit in there at all. If I had gone into the Panda Express, there is no way that I could have sat down because there were no seats. So, has anybody actually got to try the Panda Express yet? Has anybody braved that line? Or showed up there at a time when they were not busy, or went inside? Now, I'm assuming a lot of people have, by the size of the lines and the size of the crowd that was in the lobby yesterday. So has anybody been to Panda Express yet, and what do you think? 740-383-9944. Or has anybody noticed the crowdedness of the Panda Express that I have noticed? Anytime a restaurant opens up like this, it always gets a huge response. And it's kind of funny last night because I went and drove down Route 95, and of course it's a Monday night, and we have all these restaurants on Route 95, and most of them had nobody in the parking lot. It was almost bare. It was like nothing else was going on. So I got to assume maybe everybody was down at the Panda Express last night because it's opened up and it's doing gangbusters. I know the people there have to be very happy with that. And I wonder if this will happen when Dunkin' Donuts opens up and other businesses that come along as time goes on. I noticed they're doing more work in that Payless. The walls are blue now. Does anybody know what's going to go in the Payless? We have the old Payless. We have had discussion that possibly it was going to be a medical place, possibly it was going to be a cigar store. Does anybody have any definitive information now yet on what's going to go in to the old Payless on Mount Vernon Avenue, there in the Marion Plaza? So the questions now, also on the table this morning, are, does anybody know what's going to go in the old Payless as they continue to try to remodel there? And does anybody know what the food at the Panda Express is like? Has anybody been there yet? Because when it's busy in the beginning like that, a lot of times the staff is overwhelmed and things don't go really great. Now, we hope that's not going on at the Panda Express, but has anybody actually been there to try the food that can actually report back to us? So we're looking for reports from the Panda Express and also questions about the old Payless here in Marion. Does anybody know definitively what's going to go in there? 740-383-9944. That is also a question on the table this morning that we would like to know the answer to. So, if that comes to you in the next 30 minutes, let me know. 30 minutes past the hour here on this particular morning. Okay, what else did we forget to talk about? Oh, I'm only going to touch on this because we went deep into this yesterday. But I was talking about my dislike for the movie Dirty Dancing. And apparently there are other people, by the way, who dislike this movie. I am not the only one. I heard from several people yesterday who also dislike this movie. But it was interesting last night because the two people who really liked this movie, who I was having a conversation with yesterday while this show was on the air, put a link on my Facebook page that there actually is a group that loves this movie, Dirty Dancing. And it's just funny to me that there's a group that loves everything, even the movie Dirty Dancing. So now, if you want to become a Dirty Dancing fan, if you want to join the fan club or the Facebook fan club or whatever it is, There is a link now posted on my Facebook page, thanks to one of these people who is a huge fan of this movie, that you can join. So now I guess I am a promoter of Dirty Dancing somehow. I don't know how that happened, but there you go. And if anybody has anything more to say about that, you can also let me know here. Phone lines are open in the final 30 minutes of the program on this particular morning. Let's see here. What else is on our list this morning that we have not touched on that would be interesting? We can also do some trivia questions this morning. Oh, and by the way, the person that the person that I was going to go to Panda Express with last night. Now this is interesting. When you go out to eat with somebody who has allergies, you hope that they know that this is not a place that they should be eating. So apparently, I've just learned, we didn't end up going to Panda Express because the line was so long and the lobby was so packed, but apparently, if we had gone to Panda Express, this would have been a horrible disaster, because I've just learned that this person has terrible allergies that I guess they did not realize that they had in regard to the Panda Express. So it would have been one of those moments where you had to rip out the EpiPen and give the person a shot in their thigh to make sure that they don't keel over because of eating the food. Now, it would have been nice to know that before we would have went there, because, see, wouldn't that have been a scary moment to go to the Panda Express and you're all excited because you're finally getting up to this place, and I imagine by the time you get to the window or get in the restaurant, you're highly excited because it's such a long line and it's such a big, you know, thing right now in Marion, the Panda Express, that somebody would go in there and become ill and you would have to take out the EpiPen and shoot them with this just to keep them alive. And I'm not really sure about these EpiPens to begin with. I think they're lifesavers, but do they work? And is there an expiration date on these EpiPens? Does anybody know anything about EpiPens? I've never had allergies that were that serious, and I've never really had anybody in my family who had allergies that were that serious, or anybody that I knew that it went to the level of an EpiPen. But what do you know about EpiPens? Let me know. 740-383-9944. Have any of you ever been in a position where you had to yank out an EpiPen and save somebody's life? Because I imagine that could be a pretty scary situation if that would happen. I don't know. I just can't imagine having to pull out the EpiPen and shoot somebody. And usually the person who has the allergies carries around the EpiPen. So it really puts a lot of pressure back on you, because they're not going to shoot themselves, I don't think. Or maybe the person who does have the EpiPen, can they shoot themselves? Or are they already to the point where they can't? Kind of like a diabetic, when people used to have bad diabetic moments. If anybody has anything to say about that, that'd be fascinating. What's in an EpiPen? What is in there that changes things for the better? Because people are highly allergic to a lot of things. That makes me think of peanut butter in a lot of ways, because so many people now have peanut butter allergies. I wonder how many people carry around EpiPens now because of their peanut allergies. And these peanut allergies can be very serious. I know in schools people are so worried about peanut butter in any way to the kids, because this can cause a very big problem. Where do you think that this whole peanut allergy thing came from? Because do you remember 30 years ago people having these peanut allergies? I really don't remember it. I'm sure they did. I'm sure there were peanut allergies. But you didn't hear it like you did now, that you can't bring peanut butter to school, that everybody has to watch out for peanut butter. Does anybody have any good explanation on why these peanut butter allergies have come on so strong? I think that's kind of fascinating. I really don't know the answer to that. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Spears.
Good morning.
Yes, you were talking about Patrick Swayze in some of his so-called B-movies there, and this is I call them. The only real two movies that I've ever seen that I really got any enjoyment out of was Red Dawn and Roadhouse. That's the only two that I really felt that really made an impact on me.
Well, I think Roadhouse is certainly a movie that has a point, and it's a good action movie. And Red Dawn, I do remember being a pretty strong movie, but I don't know why people have such a fascination, and it's girls for some reason, they have such a fascination and a love for this Dirty Dancing movie.
Yeah, you know why? Patrick Swayze was, you know, considered really, really hot back in the day there, you know? That really got their sassy there, you know?
I guess.
I wish I could have been like that and got out there and done the moves he did. And the EpiPens you were talking about, I take insulin through some of these pens, and they have their pros and cons. Some of them make you right down sick when you take it.
Real, so what is in the EpiPen that helps you?
Well, they put insulin in one of mine, so that's a must if you're a diabetic. That seems to do pretty good on me, but the other one, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what's in it. And it's all them big, long words I can't even pronounce.
Do you know when the problem is coming on? So do you actually shoot yourself with your own EpiPen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, my diabetes is so bad that, you know, you better do what you take it, because you can pass out with it and just go down without any warning.
Absolutely. I know. Well, diabetes is so dangerous.
Yeah, it's no fun having it, and that's for sure.
Now, you have to keep your EpiPen around at all times, I would imagine.
I try, yes. There's a few times I forget it, and I'm just winging it on a prayer there, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess that's what you have to do in that particular situation. Have you ever been to the point where somebody else had to inject you with the pen?
Whenever I first started using it, I didn't like the idea of being stuck by anything. When you first start this stuff, you had to basically learn, where to put it. And I had help from my sisters, which, knew a little bit about it, so I quickly learned how to do it myself.
You got to do what you got to do in those particular situations. I think it's so scary because especially with diabetes and the food allergies that people have, and I don't understand this peanut allergy. I mean, I know that it's real, but I never heard of that years ago. I don't know why it's become such a big thing.
I guess it's pretty big there. You hear from time to time on the news where somebody's had a reaction there, and it's a pretty bad one, I guess. I guess you swell up and and you can't breathe and stuff with it.
Oh, it can cause a lot of havoc on you. That is, and your throat can close up, and that's the real fear.
Yeah, that's never a good thing.
Absolutely not. Well, hey, I thank you for calling this morning.
No problem, buddy.
Take care.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye. And if you have any opinions on this, we would love to hear them. See, I love a call like that, where we can have a dialogue kind of about everything we've been talking about. And that is my contention about the movie Dirty Dancing, is just simply, it's about maybe how Patrick Swayze looks. Other than that, I don't see the point of that movie. But you know, a caller yesterday said the same thing. It's about how he looks. So I guess that's what we've all learned about the movie Dirty Dancing over the last few days, is that's why it really has no appeal to men, is because it's all about how Patrick Swayze looks. There really is no plot. There really is no moral. And I guess if you want to see a good Patrick Swayze movie, you just watch Roadhouse or Red Dawn or something else. Or just watch a totally different movie altogether. But the EpiPen conversation is an interesting conversation, because if you're in a restaurant, let's say you have an EpiPen and you're alone. Do you let people know in the restaurant that you have an EpiPen? And if somebody, you know, starts choking or grabbing their throat or whatever, hopefully you can get to your bag, I guess, to show them that you have an EpiPen. It just seems like a scary situation, but thank goodness for them, because I'm sure they have saved a lot of lives, and that is what you need, because apparently it's very quick, life or death, if you get into those particular situations. How long have EpiPens been around? That's kind of interesting. How long have they been around? I think that's a fairly new thing. I don't think they've been around years and years and years. Does anybody know the history on the EpiPens? 740-383-9944. Or do you have any things you want to say in regard to gravy recipes? What is the difference between certain gravies? Or have you been to the Panda Express? Have you braved that long, long line that is at the Panda Express, or went into that lobby where there is almost no place to sit to have that good Panda Express food, which apparently I will not be trying with the person who I was out with last night, because there are a lot of allergies involved with that particular food, which they did not know about last night, and we would have had to get into an EpiPen situation last night had we eaten there. So that, I guess, is a very good thing. Now, okay, that being said, 42 coming up on 43 minutes past the hour here on this morning. There's a little subject I wanted to get to. I wrote this down yesterday and we never had time to get to it because we were having the conversation about the movies and so on and so forth. But okay, yesterday we had a caller who called in, I think it was the first hour yesterday. Yeah, it must have been the first hour. And said they were watching some movies over the weekend, and one of the movies they were watching was a movie called Notting Hill. Now, I don't know how many people have saw the Notting Hill movie. I have not, although yesterday I did research it a little bit. Apparently, the movie Notting Hill is about Hugh Grant, and he owns a bookstore, and Julia Roberts is in this movie, and I guess she's a movie star. Now, why she comes to this town of Notting Hill, I'm not really sure. And how she gets involved with this bookstore owner, I'm not really sure about that either. But basically, the premise is of this movie, I guess, from what I could learn yesterday, is that the bookstore owner and the Hollywood actress kind of get together, and she wants to start being in a relationship with him, but he doesn't want to do it because he's scared, because she's famous, and he's going to get trampled on. And I don't even know how the movie ends because I've never seen it. I don't know if they do get together in the movie. I don't know if it's a happy ending or a sad ending. I don't know if she goes back to whatever town she's from. I don't really know what happens because I haven't seen the movie. If anybody knows that, you can share that information. I'll still watch the movie. And is it a good movie overall? That's another good question. 740-383-9944. Notting Hill, which I think came out in 1999, so it's been 21 years since that movie was released. Anyway, the call yesterday came that somebody had seen Notting Hill over the weekend, and that I reminded this person of somebody in that particular movie, which was kind of interesting because that same actor, people have told me that before, that I remind them of that actor. That was not the first time I'd heard that, so it was an interesting story. Now, why am I going through this all again? Well, here's why I'm going through this all again. Because during that particular conversation that I was having yesterday morning about the movie Notting Hill, the caller, when they were asking if... I guess the question overall was, do I look like this person? And it was funny because the caller said that Bailey, who's been on this program before, and I don't know how many times she's been on the program. I think four times Bailey's been in here. And that I should ask Bailey, who listens to the show. She's listening to the show right now. She listens to the show most mornings. I don't know how she stays awake most mornings, but she does listen to the show most mornings. That I should ask Bailey if I do look like this person, that I should get Bailey's opinion on this particular issue. Now, it's kind of funny because we had not been talking about Bailey yesterday or had not brought this up. So it's just kind of interesting why Bailey, of all people, would be the person that I would ask if I look like this person or not, because I would assume that other people have seen me and probably could make that judgment. So it was just kind of funny that that was the go-to person. Now, saying all that, the point is that Bailey did say that she saw the resemblance between me and that particular actor, which is kind of cool because other people have seen that resemblance. Now, what this makes me think about is, you know, we have people on the show all the time. We have repeat visitors and repeat guests, and, you know, we talk a lot about a lot of people constantly. I mean, we have the Hillary log going here and the whole bit. So why does this come up in this particular conversation? Okay, here's why it comes up. Because I think Bailey never came on this show until, like, November. I think maybe she was on twice in November, twice in December. And really, those are the only times she's been on. But she has become an interesting part of this program, enough to where people will mention her out of the blue, which is kind of interesting. And here's why I think that is. Here's what I've come to learn about that particular situation, because this is not the first time that this has happened, that somebody has asked me about her. I'll get asked about her quite a bit. And I think a lot of people wonder, are we friends? What are we? Why was she ever on the show? Because she really never had a title. It was just, here's, you know, Bales, and let's see what goes on. So here's why I think that's been going on. I want to clarify this all up this morning. You know, this is kind of like my State of the Union here on this morning. So you're listening on a good morning when it comes to the whole Bailey thing. She's incredibly smart and incredibly articulate and incredibly good on the radio. And not everybody is. It's a funny thing. A lot of people kind of get uptight when they come on the radio, and a lot of people, I don't know, just aren't themselves. And from day one, she was always herself on the radio. And she was willing to take a jab at me, and I was willing to take a jab at her. And we could have a lot of fun that way. And really, that's pretty much what our relationship is. It's willing to make fun of the other person, and nobody takes anything personally. And we do have a good time when we hang out together. We have hung out together quite a bit now. It's always a good time, always enjoyable. And I just think she's a very unique person, and I would imagine anybody who's listened to this program at any time would probably have the same opinion that I do, or anybody who's spent any time around her, is that she is not really like other people. There is nothing about her that I would say is typical. She is the untypical person. If you think she's going to do something, she's going to do the exact opposite. If you think she's going to say something, she's going to say the exact opposite. So I kind of like being tied in with her for certain reasons. Now, we're going to take a call, and I might come back to this. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
So you were on the air today, and I was listening.
Well, I appreciate it.
I called before the clock strikes 10.
No, I'm glad you did.
How is 2020 treating you so far?
2020's good. I've had a good year. How about you?
Not too bad. Kind of crazy weather. It was 71 day, and then it's 10, and not a lot of snow. Just a few flakes out my way, but I guess that's what makes things interesting.
That's exactly true.
Was wondering what you thought about, of course, many things I ponder, because you're a man of so many interesting opinions. The prince formerly known as Harry, or I guess the man formerly known as Prince Harry or Prince Henry, and his lovely wife Meghan, about them relocating to the Great White North in Canada. And also, were you planning on having them on as a guest now that they're not royalty, just regular people? You know, it's kind of cold in Canada, and the phone is always a warm thing to hold. in the cold weather. Were you going to have them on as a guest at some time? That would be interesting. Plus, we'd all love to hear the accent.
Well, I think it is interesting because clearly at this particular point, he's no longer a prince. I guess he's been stripped of that title. And she's no longer a princess, and they are just living up in Canada, not too far away. So, yeah, I would expect them to be on the show soon, and I would guess that the relationship with Grandma, Queen Elizabeth, is not very good at this particular point.
Because you have celebrities on who are certainly more popular than Meghan Markle. I mean, she would be one of the youngest celebrities you have, but you have celebrities of all ages, even people like 107 years old, so...
Well, we just had Ashley.
You know, Prince Harry would certainly be intriguing. I mean, with his past as the party prince and all of his insights into the British family that we Americans are kind of obsessed with. And again, we'd love to hear the accent.
Oh, we love the accent.
The royals just sound so cool. So I didn't know if he was going to be maybe one of your surprise guests. I would definitely be glued to my radio if he were.
Well, it could happen. You never know. I would like to have the royals on because I think they have a lot of secrets.
And I'm sorry for the dumb question, but about Betty White, as you know, I would call her an idol, I think most people would. Has she been on since we've had WWGH? Was she on in the station we're not going to talk about, the company that laid off half their staff? Was she on when you were with that station? Or when was the last time you had her on?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this the other day because I know I have a picture with her somewhere because I did interview her in person, but I've also interviewed her over the telephone. Yeah, I mean, she was on when I was on the other station. She definitely was on when I was there. But I do think she was on one time in here, because I'm trying to remember when she was on Saturday Night Live.
And you could tell your very esteemed webmaster. Is her show in the archives we put on the website? The webmaster told me he hasn't seen it, but...
You know, I'll have to look that up. I'm not sure if it is or not, because it definitely would have been in the early days, so I will certainly have to go back in the archives and see what I can find.
Me as well as, you know, the unnamed webmaster, whom we both know and admire so much, big fans of hers. I mean, how could you not idolize someone like that? I mean, 98, she still looks pretty good. You talk about a classy lady with multiple talents who's done so much, not just for women, but everybody in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've covered this on your show, Scott, because sometimes I'm not up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I apologize, but I do listen to your show in the gym a lot. As you know, I'm at home now. It's too early to work out. The aforementioned layoffs at the radio conglomerate, which, of course, includes one of the stations in our beloved city, I guess you can't say the word screwed on the air, so I won't say it, but whatever the word is, were their employees given the royal shaft? Was it a necessary move? Do you feel for our brothers and sisters in broadcasting who got this unfortunate pink slip? What are some of your thoughts? I mean, we know radio is a crazy business, but this really overdoes a lot of the craziness.
Well, I think it's unfortunate. Yeah, I did bring it up last week a little bit because some of the people I worked with over there were some of the people who unfortunately were let go, and it's a horrible thing. I think the more people in a local market like this, the better. So I don't think it's a good thing. And that station this year, oddly enough, I don't know what the celebration will be like on December 23rd, but will have been around 80 years, and it was the first station in this area. So I'm sad to see that there's hardly any local programming on the air anymore over there. Thank goodness for what local programming is still there.
It makes us look better, which is wonderful, but we're on the same team. And you feel for these people. Radio is something that is local, that comes live from a person sitting in a studio, providing entertainment, news, music, sports, breaking information, and obviously talk. And there are just some things that just don't go well with automation. Now, I understand we have Sirius and Spotify and Pandora, and things that weren't around, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, or certainly weren't as dominating as they are now. When you entered the broadcasting field, I mean, when I did, they weren't around. But when you were, they were probably just getting started. But what do you do? We still need to be what they call live and local. You know, we have that. And in a city the size of Marion, people want to hear one of their neighbors on the air. And it really is kind of sad. You can only listen to so much Sirius, and you still long for the local voice from a microphone that's existing in your same city. I mean, will the radio business ever recover, Scott? Will we go back to more of this local programming. I've heard people say you have a major sports team that will help your status as a media leader. I mean, WLW, for example, with the Reds, they're not going anywhere, but they're certainly not the dynasty that they were at one time. Or have we kind of are we beating a dead horse here, trying to revive our the industry that we love so much?
Well, I just think it's changing, and I think people have to understand that it's changing, some for the good, some for the bad. But I think in the end, change is a good thing. When cable television came in, I think people laughed at that and said that's not a good thing. But I don't think anybody would do away with all the great programming that's been produced by cable over the years. And now more Emmy Awards are won by cable shows than by broadcast networks. And the viewership is almost the same. So and now the internet's there, and people have to adapt to that. Newspapers are certainly having to adapt to the internet. So radio will adapt, and things will go on, and maybe it is podcasts. Maybe it is longer form. I don't know.
A lot of the TV stuff, because the local stations, the programs are so bad. Is there anything to watch on prime time besides these reality shows that really aren't real? I mean, the great comedies of the 70s and the 80s. I mean, speaking of Betty White, you know, three of them that she was on. And obviously the politically incorrect ones that I love, Sanford and Son, and the Family, et cetera. That's a lost art in local broadcast TV, and that's part of it. People get tired of these shows that are all pretty much the same. And I find myself watching antenna TV and those retro channels that have those 70s, 80s shows that I like. Even if I can watch them on YouTube or on Fire Stick, I still kind of like watching them on a so-called live TV station.
Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out in the end.
Yeah, it's a changing business, and it makes us look better, and that's wonderful, but I'm a team player, and everybody in broadcasting, we're all the same family, and it really is sad, and people just walked into work, and they got a notice to clean out their desk and leave in 15 minutes, and that just isn't a nice way to treat these people.
No, not a fun ending.
The company whose name we're not going to mention was embarrassed to do it any other way.
But unfortunately, the way it goes.
Yeah, you live and you learn. I mean, you know that being a broadcaster is like being the manager of the New York Yankees. Every day you come in and you still have a job, count your lucky stars.
That's right. I could be gone tomorrow. You never know.
And any talented person, you know, think of you and Charlie and, you know, an occasional announcer here, Jeff, or someone's talent, they are valuable anywhere. And if you have the talent, you will find a place to spew forth the contents of your dulcet tones and opinions, and I guess that's pretty cool from our end.
And Panda Express, I'm sure, needs some help right now.
Let you know, I'm
listening. They're very busy.
And when you have Harry and Megan on the air, let me know. I will set the alarm clock, make the coffee. I don't want to miss that broadcasting spectacle.
I appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, God.
Bye-bye. That's right, Harry and Megan, they're no longer the Prince and Princess, so why not have them on the show? Well, we're done for the day. Don't forget, the Adam the Computer Guy show is on today from 2:10 to 3 p.m., Voice of the People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m., The Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 5:10 to 6 p.m., and a whole lot of good radio in between here and there. Well, the next 2 hours, we've got the WWGH Classics, where we delve into the audio archive from many years past and play two programs that maybe you've never heard before or certainly haven't heard in the last few years. And by the way, the end on the Bailey thing with the call-in yesterday was, she's just a fun person to have on, she's a fun person to have around, and she's like that at dinner or in the studio. And maybe I'll talk more about that tomorrow, because you never know what topic's going to come up. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. As you might think they are, this woman exceeds the kindness that you might think she would be. She has the greatest laugh in the world, and she was the voice of one of the greatest villains in Disney history, Ursula from The Little Mermaid. And along the way, she did a lot of great game show series and worked like Jimmy Durante, Gloria Swanson,